Hi, it's Devlin. Welcome to the very, very first episode. Proper episode. We've done the trailer, but this is the first proper episode of Audio Secrets, taking you into my recording booth so you can know all my little secrets. Now, to start this one, I thought we'd start with, well, basically the questions I've been asked repeatedly. I do tend to get asked the same questions, but don't let that stop you sending in any. If you've got anything you want to know, then drop me an email, devlin@devlinwild.com, and I will do my best to answer them, and probably bring them on here. Why not? Let's talk about them in public. I won't mention your name, of course. But yes. So, where does the story begin? Well, audiobooks aside, because I tend to be hired to record the audiobooks. So that's another author's ideas. But we're going to go into audiobooks probably next week. I'm going to give you an insight into how I create an audiobook and the secrets behind it. And the stages, there tends to be a lot of myth about audiobooks. So it's quite a lengthy subject. So we'll go into that next week. But for the podcast stories and the experiential erotica, my ideas can come from different places. It can be the latest podcast story, the Little Red Riding Hood. Didn't actually start with Little Red Riding Hood. That wasn't the original concept. The actual genesis of the idea for that story was one line. It's something, I can't remember where I heard it, but it was, "I want a wolf, not a man." And I actually think it was probably a nature program or something about somebody who was keeping wolves. You know, rescuing wolves and things. But certainly the idea didn't start off as Little Red Riding Hood. It was just my twisted mind. I like the idea of taking something that was innocent, something, you know, that we inherently think is pure, and perverting it a little. But that's just me. Certainly with things like, if we go back over some of the experiential erotica, Masquerade of Innocence was actually inspired by one scene in a film. And that film was Interview with a Vampire. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but the scene was where Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt had the slave girl on the chaise lounge, and they were, you know, slowly draining up her blood. And I thought that was such a sensuous thing. Such a sensuous thing. The whole, that was a new take on, you know, an MMF. And that's where the idea for Masquerade of Innocence came from, taking the slave girl, who is all accounts is an innocent, and taking her into the darkness, should we say, seducing her into their way. So that was where the inspiration came from for that. The faking, that was originally going to be Little Red Riding Hood, but that quickly went off the rails and became something completely different and became a fairy story. I don't have a thing for Little Red Riding Hood. I think it's just so open to perversion. Don't you? It is. That became more of a Shakespeare play. That was heavily inspired by A Midsummer's Night, with the fae king who, although the fae queen is very beautiful, etc., the fae king is actually more of an animal. He's a huge monster, so yes, so that's where that came from. So I get, and sometimes it comes from stories. I'll read a story, I'll read a book, and I think, yes, that could be a good basis. And a lot of it comes from requests. People email me in saying, "This is my fantasy. Can you make something that's real?" And I'm not going to go into which ones because I'll embarrass people, but yes, a large number of those were based on people's fantasies where they've emailed in and just said, "I'd like to hear a fantasy about this." Okay, let's create one. So the actual beginning of the story, the Genesis, can come from a multitude of different sources, and usually, even for one story, the idea is molded through different sources. Okay, next question. It's fun, isn't it? Are there similar elements to every story? Not really. There are common things I want to achieve. There are a couple of common elements, I think it's fair to say. Obviously, with the experiential erotica, there has to be the relaxation phase. There has to be the induction into hypnosis. But there are common things I want you to take away from listening to the audios. And these aren't just, yes, I want you to have great sexual pleasure. I want you to feel great sexually afterwards. Yes, I want you to feel more confident about your sexuality, whatever your desires are. I want you to feel they're okay. I want you to feel comfortable with that. I do tend to add things about body image in. You'll notice, probably in a lot of the stories, that the heroine, or the listener, in the experiential erotica stories, usually go through some stage where they start appreciating their body more, they start feeling better about their body. Whatever the defects might be, they feel good about them afterwards, and that's how it should be. You know, I'm very aware that most people, you know, I don't think probably anybody listening to this could ever say, you know what, I'm 100% body confident. Because there's always elements we could change. Plastic surgeons would be out of a job if we didn't. Yes, there are similar elements. Mainly it's around body image. It's about you, the listener, feeling better about their desires, more comfortable with them. A lot of people feel a guilt for having their desires, like they shouldn't have them. They're naughty, they're dirty. And that just shouldn't be there. For me, that's wrong. What am I working on at the moment? Well, at the moment, mainly audiobooks. I have a backlog of audiobooks. And if you're one of the authors, yes, I am actually working on your audiobooks, not just doing podcasts. So yes, your book is in the process. There's a new experiential erotica coming out, he says, in a couple of weeks. It's basically written. I just have to record it, edit it, etc. And that takes a little more time than you might think. I think for an episode, I'll take you through the actual process of... Actually, no, we'll do it now. See, once... With the podcast stories, they're fairly easy because they're ad hoc. They're recorded on the spot. So they're natural. You know, what you get is just what's there. With the experiential erotica, because of the nature of experiential erotica, I have to be a little more careful because the story is actually happening in your mind. So I have to be very, very careful of the phrasing I use. So those generally have to be scripted, all but one, but we'll come back to that another day. So I can't put things into the story that might cause what we call an aberration in hypnosis, which is a negative reaction. Because I don't want you having negative reactions. I want you to lay back, put your earbuds in and enjoy it and come out of it thinking, wow, that was great. I want some more. You know, that's my ideal reaction. You know, you know, it's good for the moment, but I need some more later. With the podcast story, I'm not sure where I'm going with this. Can you tell that this isn't scripted? Does it show? So when they are recorded on multi-levels, the experiential erotica are actually recorded on multi-levels. So they are written, I check the script, I record the initial script, and there will generally be There'll be secondary voices. You'd probably notice it through them. There are subliminal voices. There are voices coming from different angles to give you a feeling of movement, to give you a feeling of not somebody just sat in front of you, but somebody moving around you. So you can hear them moving. And they give you that feeling that they're actually around you. And it's close and personal. And that makes it more real. That movement makes it more real. When you have just a narrator stood in his booth, because I do stand. I do have a stool, but we'll come back to that in a minute. When you have a narrator just stood in their booth, narrating at you, it tends to be from a fixed point, which doesn't make it feel very three-dimensional. So once I've done those, then I add the background sounds, the music, the binaural beats. I also tend to add effects for the environment, just to make it feel more real, like the sea or the woods or wolves howling. That seems to be popular. You know, things like that that make the story actually feel more real as you're listening to it. It becomes more of theatre rather than a narration. Now back to the booth. Before I forget, the stool. Yes, I have the stool of the unknown listener. When you're telling a story, any story, it helps to be talking to an individual person. To have somebody there that you're actually narrating to. Now, obviously, I don't have somebody in the booth with me, because otherwise you'd hear them, and that would be a bit weird. So I have a stool in the booth, which the unknown listener is sat on. So as you listen, I am narrating to you. You hear me narrating to you on your own, sat on that stool. And that makes it personal. For me, I think it makes it more sensual. I think it makes it a lot more passionate. I don't know. Let me know your thoughts. Maybe I should remove the stool. Maybe I should be more animated. I don't know. When I started Experiential Erotica, when I started Wild Desires, there was no rules. You know, I was the first to do it. It didn't exist before I did it. So I'm still making my way through it and finding the way of doing it right. And it changes all the time. It adapts. I listen to feedback when somebody says, oh, I like this, or I didn't like that. I do listen to the feedback and I put it into future stories. You know, if we go back to the very beginning of Lure Me, that was very different to the later ones. And I know a lot of people like it because it's raw, it's unproduced, etc. And that's great. But I couldn't do that with some of the later ones, especially after Seduced by the Shadow, which was such a complex audio. You know, there's 8 different tracks on Seduced by the Shadow. It couldn't not be produced. It would just sound like a mess. But the Experiential Erotica is very different to audiobooks, which are a lot more complex a beastie to create than most people think. An author once said to me, not so long back, that all you do is just read the book. You just sit there, read the book, record you reading the book, and it's like, wow. That's like saying an author just sits down and writes a book. They just get, you know, in front of the screen and just type. And hey presto, a few hours later, there's a book. There's a lot more that goes into it. It is a lot of hard work, but we'll go into that more next week. I'd like you to know more about audiobooks. They're fun. They are fun. I do. I'm a great believer in audiobooks. Obviously, I spend a great deal of my time recording them. So, over to you. What would you like to know about that happens inside the recording booth? Or maybe outside it? I don't know. I'm throwing it out to you. I will be giving you insights into some of the audiobooks I'm actually recording at the moment. And I will be doing excerpts from those audiobooks just to give you a feel for what's happening, give you part of the magic. And it's not just erotica. I'm doing a horror series at the moment called The Trapper. I am doing a gay erotica at the moment called Unnatural. So it's all fun. It's all fun. So next week, we're going to go more into audiobooks. So if there's anything about audiobooks and the creation of audiobooks that you'd like to know, then send an email to Devlin at devlinwild.com. So go ahead and subscribe now so you can have the inside track of what's actually happening within the recording booth. This very new recording booth, yes, it is. Hopefully it sounds good. I hope you like it. It was a lot of hard work. So, until next time, when I can get you into my recording booth again, this is Devlin Wild, wishing you salacious dreams.